Welcome to the Talking Nutrition Podcast, where twice a week, you'll learn about all things health, fitness, and mindset. I'm your host, Yoel Investors, and it's my goal to simplify nutrition, provide you with actionable strategies, and teach you repeatable systems so you can create real results at last. Now, real quick, you won't find any crazy restrictive diets or quick fixes here, and the stuff that we talk about is basic, easy to apply, and effective. However, the only way to create change is by putting what you learn into action. Now go ahead and grab yourself a coffee, pour me one while you're at it, and let's dive into the episode. What's up and welcome back to Talking Nutrition. Today we have Pia back for a second episode together. What's up, Pia? How are you?
Hello, nice to be here. So happy to be back. Thank you.
Haven't talked to you since last year. How's the new year been for you?
It's been nice. As I really appreciate the holidays, but I appreciate the everyday life even more. So I think it's nice to be back in the good old routines.
Do you get that too, where it's like it takes a little while to kind of get into that groove again?
I want to say yes, but really no. I'm just so eager to get back into the routines, and I have them like programmed in my everyday life. So not really, no. What about you?
Yes or no. I'm going to say yes or no, because it depends on whether it's like my fitness stuff and my own nutrition and all that, you know, or like work related. I'd say both. I definitely see, though, with a lot of people that it takes a little while. You know, it's like anytime someone starts like a fat loss phase or a lean gain phase or even just maintenance, like the initial weeks are always kind of getting used, you know, figuring things out. And the same kind of thing goes even just with the nutrition, like routines and training, you know. People go from being on a roll, and then it's New Year's or Christmas, and they're completely just dysregulated because it's like not like the usual day to day, and then it takes a little while to get into that again.
Yes, also I completely understand that, and I always say that it's in that way. I have a different lifestyle than a lot of other people because I run my own business, and nutrition and training is a big part of my work as well. So it is a lot easier for me to just go on to those routines again because I fill my lunch as a. It's what I do, so it's easier for me and maybe you as well than it is if you have like your whole life outside of the training and nutrition stuff. Then I can fully understand that it takes like a couple of weeks after vacation to like get into the groove again.
Yeah, I do feel that. I will say this, so I mean I do agree, because obviously you're, you know, very involved with training, me it's mostly nutrition. Of course we both do like both sides. But, like, you are right. Like, it's something that we consistently just are involved with on, like, a day-to-day basis, like, all day, kind of, you know? But I do think that ultimately, because we obviously get a lot of people who are just getting started with their journey, you know? Which, I mean, those people are really talking about in this episode, kind of, like, helping them create, like, a good, healthy diet, let's call it. Ultimately, you want that to be part of your life, right? Like nutrition, training, like that should be ingrained in like what you do on a day-to-day basis, or at least it shouldn't be like a separate thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I feel that's like it's a journey for a lot of people, because to like get there you almost have to change your identity. I feel like training is one thing, but nutrition, like we talked about the last time, it's like it's the choices you make all the time during your day. And it's not just for yourself. It's at work, with the family and stuff. So, it's hard. But, of course, it should be, like, something you do on autopilot almost. But maybe it takes, like, some months or maybe years to get there.
Yeah, I do think so. And, you know, you have a lot of people diving into the articles in your app or your apps, basically. I think also there, because there's a lot of information in it, and even just like learning about nutrition in general, also through this podcast and, you know, the stuff that you put out, like it does take time. You know, it does take like at least months, if not like a few years, depending on where someone is.
Yes. And that's so important that people understand that when they do this and really means they're serious about changing their diet because they want to achieve something, you know, either with their training or physique. You have to understand that you have to make changes that you can live with for your whole life, unless it's some extreme stuff, but we don't work with extreme stuff.
No.
It's like normal people like you and me that just wants to, I don't know, look like they're training. That's like an important part of it. And also getting more energy, fueling their self and their health, you know.
Do you feel like, so how was your nutrition during the holidays compared to like normal, in quotes?
It's a lot more all over the place. It's about eating with your family and friends and just going with the flow. And I can feel that flow is a lot different than my usual flow when I do my own choices. So, and also when you get like bread and butter and nice pålegg, what's that in English?
Yeah, like, yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah, like deli meats and like cheese and like stuff you put on a sandwich. I know exactly what you mean. Stuff you put on a sandwich.
Brunost, ost, all that good stuff on the sandwich, yeah. A lot of butter. I find it really hard to control myself, and that's why I'm so occupied with taking healthy choices in my everyday life, because I know that if I have these temptations all around me all the time, it's hard to... I'm not a take one chocolate chip kind of girl. I eat the whole bag, you know? Yeah. So, I just kind of splurge a bit when I have a vacation. And I can do that and not feel bad, because I know that I get back to my everyday routines when I'm done with the holiday. But it's a good training in, like... having a treat but not going fully overboard, and I feel like I'm getting there, but some overeating during the holidays does always occur, unfortunately. Yeah. What about you?
I think it's, you know what, like, because this even ties into the first part of like what we want to address, so really quick to the listener, like today we're going to be basically breaking down like what healthy eating in quotes like really means, you know, so that it's actually sustainable. We want to be flexible. I also don't want people to take the word flexible too far, because it's not a, you know, like a, you know, golden ticket to do whatever the hell you want to do. But like, we do want to do both, you know what I mean? And just that stuff that you just mentioned, because that's why I asked, it's like, we should be able to go through like Christmas and have the cookie and have the stuff, have that family dinner, which... a lot of cases, you know, when it comes to like ribbe, for example, which is a Norwegian word for the listener, by the way, or like pinochet, you know, like those kind of things, like that's stuff that you probably eat like once a year, you know? So we could go like, oh yeah, it's very fatty and whatever it is. Like, yeah, sure. It's very fatty. It's also really fucking good. We're also going to have the, you know, the gingerbread cookies and those kind of things. Like eating healthy and living like a healthy lifestyle doesn't have to mean that we're not going to do those things anymore. You know what I mean? And to your question, because for me, it's pretty similar in a way. I have certain things set up to where like I lower my meal frequency so that I can have bigger meals. I'll still have like equal like protein feedings, basically. That's my main focus. I then also, you know, stay active and make sure I get some lifts in. You know, I hit my steps, get outside, got a lot of good sleep in. Like that week for me, like sleep-wise, it was the best, you know? Mm. But yeah, also when it comes to chocolate and those kind of things, like I also do have a weak spot for that, to where one, I do allow myself more around that time. Also knowing, hey, I'm going to dial it back in right away after, which plays into like the 80-20 principle. But then also knowing that like in the grand scheme of things, it's really not going to do that much. It's really difficult to really gain like multiple kilos of like body fat like in a very short time, you know? Like you'd have to eat thousands of calories over your diet, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I know that after working with the diet for so many years, and especially after working with you, I've really learned that. So I know that it's very little harm that these big meals can do. But for myself and clients, I'm mostly occupied with them having a good feeling during the holidays as well, because I know how splurging too much and like eating a whole lot more candy than you were planning on, how it affects you like mentally. So knowing what you just said is really important, but also trying to like eat within your needs and eating what feels good and giving yourself the possibility to enjoy, but not overeating just because you can. And I feel like that's like a constant training thing for myself and a lot of other people, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, so at the time of this recording, I'm actually writing an article this week on willpower, because there's kind of like two sides to that, you know? We can, in a way, we can address our willpower. We can, you know, create that or you know, cultivate that. But by, you know, doing some mind work, mindset stuff. But it's also about setting up your environment for success to where you don't always have to practice self-control, where you don't have to rely on willpower, right? Which goes into healthy eating. It's like if we create just those routines and we kind of get really clear on, hey, this is kind of like my day-to-day. We want to have variety, but we want to still have our healthy foods in place. We create somewhat of a structure to where we know, like, hey, I'm eating this many times a day, right? I'm eating like these healthy foods and make sure I get my proteins, etc. With the, you know, the chocolate and all that, which is around way more during Christmas, I feel like now not having that in the house is going to be a huge one. And I think people by now, like, I mean, we're into like it's mid-January already, which is kind of crazy if you think about it, but I feel like we're already past that, you know, where like we don't really have those chocolates like around the house anymore. But this is something that you want to remember. Like you can create the environment so that you don't have to practice the self-control. And that's huge.
Definitely. It makes it a lot easier. I can really recommend the book by Menno Henselmans. What's it called again? Self-discipline. It's something about self-discipline. It's a whole book about that and how to make your life easier when it comes to making good choices for yourself and your health. And it's a really good book. But I also wanted to ask you, so now we're stepping into the new year, and I work a lot with training and you work mainly with nutrition, and that's why we go so good together. I need your help, and yeah, we're helping each other out. And so I wanted to ask you what you think about the claim abs are made in the kitchen. Do you think right?
I love that question. They're not made in the kitchen, but they're revealed in the kitchen, I feel like. It's a, like, you're not going to eat and create abs, you know what I mean? That the building, like, that's, it's muscle gain. It's a muscle that you can train, which really goes into, and you've maybe noticed this as well. I feel like the last years, maybe less now, but like people have gone into, oh, you don't have to train abs because if you just do your big compound movements, you're training your core anyway, blah, blah, blah. But it's a muscle, right? Or it's muscles. If you want to create bigger abs, we can train our abs. Simple as that, right? However, we can reveal them by cutting body fat. That's how it's going to go. If you want to build them, right? You want to train, just like any other muscle. If you include more of it in your program, like you're going to build more, bigger abs. If you want to then reveal them, you want to cut body fat, you want to lose some weight, go into a fat loss phase so that it shows up. Because they're there, you know what I mean? Like they are there. It's just that you might not see it because there's a layer of like fluff over it. You know what I mean? Here's the thing though. This is something people don't know. Different people will look different at similar body fat levels. And a big part of that is genetics, which isn't talked about enough, I feel like. Because you and me could have like the same body fat percentage and have completely different kind of abs, you know what I mean? Some people might have a higher body fat percentage and actually have visible abs compared to someone else who might be lower body fat percentage, but might still be struggling to kind of get visible abs, you know what I mean? So unfortunately, like, part of it is outside of your control because it's, you know, genetics and stuff. That's a big, big part of it. but I still don't think we should use that kind of as like an excuse or whatever it is. We're not doomed. It's like, hey, if you want to have more visible abs, we can train them. And yeah, then if you want to reveal them, like we want to cut body fat, you know? Does that answer your question?
Yes, definitely, on a very specific level, because I feel like the abs are made in the kitchen. It sounds cheesy, but at the same time, it tells us that we have to do something with our nutrition to affect how our body looks. And I feel like a lot of people, especially girls, maybe even more before, but it's all about in January running on the treadmill, burning calories, and like that's the most important thing they do to like look athletic. But now we know so much more about how you build an athletic physique, and of course training and nutrition is about so much more than how you look. But I'm tired of not talking about how you can use training and diet to look a specific way. And I mean, people deserve to know how they can move their body in the way they want to. So I'm trying to teach my clients, and it took a while for me to learn this as well, that we have to use training to build muscle, and we need muscle even if you're, so when you're gaining you need it, and also when you're cutting, because it's always about the bad body fat that you want to like regulate, and also muscle mass, of course, but especially when you're trying to cut as a loose body fat, it's about precisely that, losing body fat and not necessarily weight. And that's just so important to understand, and also that you don't have to adjust your training that much necessarily. It's more about the food you eat, because a lot of people come to me in January and like, I think I'm going to do 3 more sessions of intervals so I can burn fat. And of course you burn some more fat and some more energy, but mostly and probably you're going to get drained. And when you come home from those 3 interval sessions that you added to your training week, you're maybe going to be so tired that you eat more than you just spent doing those sessions. So that's why I feel we need to talk more about nutrition as a goal to affect how we look, because it's just it's so much more effective than like you training ourselves to death.
You brought up a really good point, because you do see that a lot. And I think we should be able to talk about this stuff, you know, because that's also another one. It's like somewhere it became almost like a no-go to talk about fitness for the way you look. You know what I mean? Like we can do everything, you know, like you want to be healthy, you want to look the way you want to look, and you want to get strong, whatever it is. You want to build your fitness. But that's a really good point. Like I don't think so. Cardio, yes, absolutely. Of course, it does play into, you know, we're burning calories, right? Working out, high intensity, whatever it is. Like, of course, we are burning calories. First of all, it's not that much, but that's not even a point. But I want people to know, like, okay, when you train, whether it's lifting weights or even body weight or cardio or high intensity, like, just think of that as building, whether it's building muscle or you're building your aerobic capacity, your cardiovascular health, like, all that stuff is so important. You want to do it from, like, a building standpoint. It's like, this is good for me. I'm building a healthier, fitter, stronger body, you know? It's not we're doing this to burn calories and then burn body fat. Like, sure, it counts, but you'll burn out at some point. There's only so much you can add. And it's just not the right way to go about it, because in reality, which is kind of sad, we've all been to gyms where you see the same people do the same over and over again. They show up, they do hours of cardio, knowing that, hey, you know, this person, a lot of times they're trying to lose body fat. You know, months down the road, they're still in the same spot, unfortunately, which is kind of sad. And it's not their fault. It's just that there's a lack of education, which is the fitness space. I feel like it's getting better, but still there's a lot of BS out there, you know? Like, that's why we got to do better, and that's why we got to talk about this stuff. Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like I can, when we talk about it, it's a good conversation. And that's what's so good about podcasts as well, that you get to enlighten all the aspects of the discussion. So it's almost better than doing a post in social media, because people misunderstand the message.
Hey, Hey, what's up? Sorry to interrupt. I promise we'll keep it short. As you already know, we don't do ads here, and I really just do this podcast out of passion for helping everyday people like yourself learn more and get results. Now, because I do this absolutely for free, would it be cool to ask you for a quick rating on Spotify or Apple? You can do it while you're listening. It really just takes a few seconds, and it would actually mean the world to me and help us grow the show and reach more people like you. Thank you so much. Now let's get back to the episode. It's also difficult with social media, especially these days, because it's getting shorter and shorter. Mm. And with nutrition and fitness and health, like, there's so much like nuance to it that you can't cram it all into like 10 seconds. You know what I mean? That's what makes it difficult. That's why I also love podcasting. Definitely. But to your point, so with the body composition stuff, yeah, it is fine for people to have those goals. You know what I mean? And I think, because I talked to someone about this today, because I'm doing check-ins, and she told me, like, hey, I know it's not necessarily, like, the goal, but I am looking forward to being leaner this summer. And, right? And I was like, you know what? Like, you can absolutely use that as fuel for your journey. Like, she started cutting. I explained, like, hey, look, you want to be leaner by summer. And it's January right now. Like, the time frame is perfect. We do fat loss. We do a reverse diet. We go to maintenance. But hey, like, if that is part of what you want to do, like, sure, the actual why is maybe not, like, you know, looking leaner at the beach. Like, sure, that's, like, surface level. But, like, why is that, right? So that's going to make me, you know, feel more confident, whatever it is. Lower body fat percentage is going to come with improved health markers. Like, it's going to show up in our blood work, you know? Like, there's so many aspects to that. To where I told her, like, hey, you know, sure, like, it's maybe not, like, the ultimate, like, why, but it's part of it. It's part of what you want to achieve. So, and hey, let's be honest, like, we kind of all want to look good, right? To a certain extent. There's people who care about it more than others, but we want to feel good. Like, if we take our shirt off, we want to feel good about it, you know? It doesn't have to be like, oh, wow, you know, supermodel, but it's like, we don't feel bad about it. That's what I'm trying to say. Make sense?
Yes, definitely. And I feel that people get a lot more confident when they start working with these things. So even though you don't look like that supermodel, and you probably will never do that either, when you start to train and when you start to take more of the better decisions about your nutrition, you also get more confident in your own body, because you know that you're showing up for yourself, and that is so valuable. So I feel just by getting in the process of training, making good food choices, and showing up for yourself, that's powerful. And of course, if you can do that over time, that's what will change your body as well. But it's always about helping people to achieve their goals, but also reminding them that it's not necessarily realistic to look like the person on Instagram.
For sure. So, kind of tying this into what we're actually going to talk about with building your own diet, I think there's a couple basics here that we can definitely work on no matter where we are at in our journey. So let's talk a little bit about the unhealthy and, you know, healthy foods debate a little, because I know it's like a big one in Norway, right?
Yes, as I get so much questions about what's healthy and what's not healthy. We learn a lot about different diets being the solution to fat loss, regulating weight, sometimes it's hard to explain to people that it's not about good or bad foods, but more so about moderation. But I'm not motstander, as a I don't judge people that do diets, for example, low carb, if that is what works for you. But maybe we have to teach people that it's not about the magic diet, but it's rather about creating rules that works for you in your everyday life. Because that's like the magic solution, I feel like, even if it's, so whatever it is, if it's working with you, going keto or whatever.
It's like, what can you stick to? You know what I mean? And I think a lot of times that this is my main problem with this whole debate, because I see people on Twitter and threads, like, going against each other with studies, and, you know, and then there's like a lot of fear mongering around processed foods. And then Norway is like going really big on like the ultra processed stuff. And there's like this big debate and everyone's talking about it. Yet in the meantime, people are still like, okay, so what do I eat then? You know what I mean? Because now we think like it's almost like everything is going to kill you. You know what I mean? So what I always like to focus on is like, hey, yes, absolutely. Like maybe some people are going to go higher carb or higher fat, whatever it is. Hey, maybe for some people, a little bit of fasting could help. But those are all tools, right? I think when it comes to like the vegan and the carnivore camps, it's like, it's pretty clear. Like, yes, both sides can probably pull up a study and say, hey, this one study is going to say this one thing, right? And they use it as proof. And there's like a new Netflix documentary right now that also, you know, promotes veganism and stuff. But it's like, hey, okay, let's look at that side. Let's look at the other side. And then let's look at what just the, what's like the average, let's call it, of all the research kind of says, if that makes sense. I know average is not the right word to use, but you know what I mean. It's like, if we look at everything and the most common trends, it's pretty clear that usually like that middle ground is kind of the solution, you know? And it's never the interesting stuff. It's not extreme, but it is the stuff that works. So we should probably eat some animal products and fruits and vegetables and probably like mostly minimally processed foods, whole foods, maybe not all super processed stuff. And then we're probably fine. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's a good thing about having a coach. Like when we work together, you automatically get help to adjust your nutrition and your diet based on what you eat from before. Because you, my impression that it is that you always start with like sort of a food log. So I, as a client, sent you what I normally eat. And I logged it, and then we work off of that. And I feel that makes it a lot easier for people to create their own rules and their own facet, also their own answer to what's a good diet for them, rather than trying to read in a magazine and be like, okay, I'm going to try this recipe because maybe it works for you, but maybe not for me, as you have to do your own thing. And it's easier to find that solution when you work with someone who knows nutrition and can help you.
Yeah, because then you can work on things one step at a time. So a couple of basics that I always want to focus on is like fruits and vegetables. Like I did this a little while ago in my free Facebook group. I did basically like a habit assessment quiz where I had people like fill out, right? Hey, like 1 to 5, like how common do you do these kind of things? And fruits and vegetables was like one of the main ones where people were lacking. So, which was kind of surprising to me because usually, I mean, we kind of know. Right? Eating healthy, okay, we should eat some fruits and veggies, you know? But at least that's the difference between knowing and doing. Like a lot of people were not doing that. So from experience also with the clients, it's like I've seen that being two of the main, you know, main ones. Are you eating 1 to 3 servings of fruit per day? Are you eating like 2 to 4 servings of veggies per day? If not, hey, let's just work on that. Same with the protein, right? Hey, are you having protein like with every single meal of, let's call it 25, 30 plus maybe grams per meal? Like, are you getting that consistently? And as in like almost every meal? If not, let's just focus on that first. And I just gave away the main three, right? For most people that I've seen, at least, you know, that require work. Because again, it's, we kind of know these kind of things. People know, right? Even listening to this podcast, it's like the millionth time they've heard, hey, you should eat more protein and eat more fruits and veggies, you know? But it's about doing it consistently, like over the course of weeks and months. And then you'll start to notice those differences.
Definitely. And if you do that on the, also week by week, the holidays won't matter. So we definitely agree on that flexible dieting is the way to go, and that abs are made in the kitchen partially. And I also want to talk about how to build a perfect plate without like counting and that kind of stuff. But first, I'm like curious about how a day in your life looks regarding to nutrition, like breakfast, lunch, dinner. nighttime or do you fast? Like, how does a normal day of your meals look like?
It's a good, I like that question. So I've gone back and forth from, in the beginning, I didn't want to share my stuff because it came from a good place. I was like, I don't want to share it necessarily because I don't want people to think like this is like a special way to eat or whatever, you know? But then again, like, it works as like inspiration and ideas, you know what I mean? So I've definitely changed my approach when it comes to that. I do post a lot more. Don't get sick.
Sorry.
No, you're good. So typical day. My breakfast, and this has been for as long as I can remember, really. I'll change it up sometimes, but like 99% of the time, it's oats with water. I throw in like mixed berries, and that goes in a microwave first, 4 minutes. And then after, I stir in like a scoop of protein, usually like a big scoop, you know. And then I add peanut butter or any kind of nuts and seeds, you know. Usually that's either like walnuts or maybe like chia. Because then I got a good amount of protein right away. And it's those four steps that we always talk about. So I want people to think like, when you create that meal, right? You want to think protein, carbs, fats, and color. So color is like fruits and or veggies. So I followed those steps for every single meal. So right there, right? Protein, it's whey. Sorry, oats is carbs. For healthy fats, right? It's peanut butter in this case, or like chia seeds. And in color is the berries. So that's one.
And do you like get up out of bed and go straight to the kitchen and eat? Or do you like hang around and do some other stuff first? Because people are like very like, should I eat breakfast? Should I not eat breakfast? Blah, blah, blah.
I think if you are going to, let's say, do a morning workout, I think absolutely we should have breakfast. I know there's a lot of hype around fasting. Technically, I do it as well, so I'm not even going against it here. But having something in your system will just objectively lead to a better workout, right? Now, what I like to recommend in general is like a 3-to-1 ratio when it comes to carbs to protein. So it could even be something small, right? Like, that's my main tip there. Like, if you do train in the morning, I highly recommend eating something because your workout will be better, right? You're going to perform a little bit better. And I also don't think, like, again, going into that workout, like, why do we want to do this? Like, it's not bad per se to do it fasted, but it'll likely get better, you know, results if you actually have something. But again, it's going to be personal depending on the person. What I do, I write a lot in the mornings, and that's where I do most like content creation, as well as doing some back-end stuff for my clients, as well as my coaches. So it's like, I'll do breakfast around maybe 9 or 10, and I get up at 5. So I'm up for a little while before I eat. Is it called fasting? Yeah. But that's not why I do it. It's just like I've noticed that worked better for me. I will say this. Like, I feel a little more, I feel like more clear when it comes to like thinking and stuff, you know? Like, I get more like deep work done. And I also just like having it a little bit later. I don't know. Like, it's just, it works for me, you know? So I'll do coffee and water, not eat for a couple hours, and then eventually, yeah, have breakfast.
Okay, nice. Okay, let's do lunch, dinner, rest of the day. I love this kind of stuff.
So I'll basically have, let's call it, so I have 5 meals. So I have breakfast, then I have, let's call it lunch, pre-workout, post-workout, and then dinner, bedtime, whatever you want to call it. So I would say the lunch and like pre-workout meal, it's not always the same stuff, but it's a lot of the same basics. So I'll either do like chicken, which I usually prep in bulk. So on Sundays, I'll try to make a whole bunch of protein, and I just have a big container. It's just good to go. So that at least for that first half of the week, I have my proteins, right? So I'll do chicken usually, because that's just easy. Put whatever spices, and that's just ready to go. And then I'll have that with either rice or whole wheat tortillas. And usually I just switch those up, or if I'm, you know, cutting like right now, I like to do potatoes as well because they're more filling. which, by the way, if you're cutting, right, it's a big tip, like boiled potatoes, super filling, definitely recommend that. Which sounds boring, but you can make it taste good, you know what I mean? Then I'll usually do veggies on the side. Like I really like bell peppers, so usually I just have like a big one, you know, on the side, or just mixed veggies, like the frozen ones, you know, just throw in the pack. Or maybe broccoli or Brussels sprouts in the air fryer. So I'll change those up, but it's still that same framework. And then for like healthy fats, it's usually like olive oil. Or when I put my chicken and bell pepper in a wrap, I'll just do like avocado or something, you know? I'll change that up. Sometimes we'll have like leftover ground beef, because when we make pasta, I just make the whole pack. And then it's basically four portions, you know? That's usually like a leftover dinner. But those would be the biggest ones for my lunches, I would say. Yeah.
Yeah, or so again, we have if I'm the cutting, same there with just where you have the veggies, you have the carbs, you have the protein, you have the fat. That's like your go-to's all the way.
Yeah. When I'm cutting, I'll sometimes do like lean fish, you know, like cod, for example, because it's just it's like pure protein. It's super simple. Like it's easy to make, you know. Then once we get to my post-workout, it kind of depends. When I have a lot in my budget, I mean, as in like my calories, you know, I might do like a sugary cereal with either a scoop of protein or something like skyr or like cottage cheese or something, you know, to where that one is a little bit more like flexible, let's call it, which to the listener also, that's a little tip maybe. It's going to depend on where you're at. Like right now, I'm not doing it because I'm cutting, right? But after your training is a really good moment to replenish and get some carbs in. It's also going to downregulate cortisol. So that's why I like to go with like the sugary cereal, because one, I like it. And two, it's like a quick way to get a lot of carbs in, right? That allows me to get like 80, 90, 100 carbs in right there and then. And that's usually with cottage cheese or something else for protein. And that's usually it. Maybe like a kiwi, which I'll usually do. But it's not very big in terms of like color, you know what I mean? And there's actually no added fats there too. Because fiber and fats slow down digestion, so that's kind of why. And then my last meal for the day, we change it up. It's usually on Mondays, we always do chicken with rice, and then we have naan bread, and then we just pick like those Indian sauces, you know, we just alternate between, you know, or rotate between a couple different ones. That's like the Monday go-to. And this goes into like creating systems, right? Mondays, it's super busy. I don't even want to think about it. It's like, hey, that's what we eat. And we still change it up and we legit like really enjoy that meal. So it's like a simple one, you know? Mm. And that's how you can simplify nutrition. Like usually like Tuesdays and Wednesdays and or, I should say, we maybe do like a pasta. Again, super simple. For protein, it's ground beef. I like the 95% lean because again, if that's leaner, we can add healthy fats. So we do the lean ground beef for protein, of course. Then we have whole wheat pasta for carbs. Then we have extra virgin olive oil for healthy fats. And for color, it kind of depends. Sometimes we'll throw that in with the sauce. Sometimes we'll do like green beans on the side or something, but it changes, you see?
Yeah.
And Friday tacos, always.
It's a must.
It's a Norwegian tradition, you know? No, but like those two, I feel like also there, like people sometimes overcomplicate it with tracking, but it's pretty simple too there, you know what I mean? Like it takes a few times, but it's, what is it? It's a whole wheat wrap. So you can, if you weigh a tortilla once, you know how much it is, you know what I mean? So I know the ones that we get are 60 grams. Like I never weigh them. But that's like when you track and you proactively do it, you don't always have to weigh stuff if you know, hey, that brand, that size, okay, 60 grams, boom, there you go. But also there, then we have some veggies. They're all super low in calories, small amounts. Same, ground beef. It's like ground beef and the spices. That's easy.
Do you feel sometimes that, I don't know how long you've been tracking for yourself and how you like do that, if you do it all the time or no, but do you feel that tracking and always following sort of a scheme can get in the way of your signals regarding appetite, when you're hungry, when you're actually full? And because I noticed that when I was tracking, also I went by the log more than like if I was hungry or not, because I had a plan, and I'm perfectly fine with that. But in the transition from logging to not logging, it was a bit harder to like eat by my own signals rather than, you know, counting and logging.
I think it's something we have to get used to and learn. For me, like I can go to maintenance, stop tracking, it's fine. My weight will be like almost the exact same, you know, because weight I do like to keep track of, but food wise, like I'll still stick to the same basics. I'll still have those foods that I usually have. Maintenance is very forgiving too. I feel like people tend to think they have to hit like this one number, and as soon as you're over or under, like it's going to mess it up. Like, no, like it's a range of like 200-300 calories. Your body does a really good job at like regulating how much you move. So if you eat a little more, like usually you just move more to a certain extent. If you eat a little less, you'll usually move a little bit less. That's what the body does, right? It actually doesn't want to be losing or gaining weight. It just kind of wants to keep things in a good spot. To your question, for me, it's second nature. The tracking is, I legit enjoy it. The not tracking at maintenance is also just second nature. It's like, that's just what I do kind of. And it comes with the years, you know? And that's what I want people to know as well. Like the tracking stuff, there's a lot of also there. It's like, we're worrying about it. Where even before people try, it's like, oh, it's going to give me an eating disorder. But it's like, not if you don't take it too far, you know? Not if you like, you're proactive about it and you're not reactive, right? You are in charge. You are doing the thing. So if you say, hey, I'm going to use that and I'm going to just go in and learn from it, use it to control my journey, go back to maintenance, and then also going to make a point of stepping away from tracking, which, yeah, like you said, it can sometimes feel uncomfortable a little bit, you know? If I do that and I'm proactive about it, I mean, you learn how to do with as well as without. And that's like the ultimate place to be, I feel like, in my opinion. Because if you have a fat loss goal, you have a muscle gain goal, it's about controlling that rate of weight gain or loss, right?
Mm.
You know exactly when to make changes, you know exactly where you're at. And then after maintenance, we can step away from it.
But it is possible to, either what's your experience regarding that, to lose fat or gain muscle without tracking, just going by your signals? Maybe that it's not that common, but I think I heard a podcast once with like a fitness person that was just cutting and bulking just based on what he felt like and of course what he knew by experience, but it probably won't be that exact.
It's possible. I'll say that it's possible. However, it comes with a lot of awareness, right? It comes with a lot of awareness, a lot of paying attention, but ignoring your signals. Because if you are in a calorie deficit, you are going to be more hungry. That's literally a sign that it works. However, people tend to be like, oh shit, I'm hungry, I got to eat. In a calorie surplus, you're going to feel more full to a point where, in a way, you got to ignore the signals to a certain extent so that you see that weight gain. And that's why I think that it's almost like this magic thing that people are trying to find, you know? It's like, hey, we're looking for this ideal world where we can reach those goals ideally without tracking, without doing all those kind of things. Is it possible? Again, yes. But relying on our natural cues is not going to do it, because we're purposely ignoring those to a certain extent, which again, people might not like hearing that. It's almost like this thing that you're not supposed to say, but that is the case when it comes to stuff that's not maintenance. If it's maintenance, sure. It's just that I think for a lot of people it's going to be very difficult. I'm not going to say it's impossible. You can get really far. Let me say this. You can get really far without tracking if you apply the basics consistently and you just do that for multiple months. So to your question, like how to build a meal, with our tracking. You have your protein, your carbs, your fats, your color. So maybe like a quarter of your plate, 25%, would be protein. Just start there. Super simple. A quarter of your plate, like that's whatever protein source. And you want to think meat, fish, maybe something like a dairy product, like skyr, cottage cheese, for example, eggs and egg whites, those kind of things, you know? And if you're plant-based or you just like that stuff, maybe something like tofu or tempeh. Then we go to carbs. Okay, so that should be maybe 25 to 30% of your plate. So again, let's call it, just to make it simple, another like quarter or a little bit more. That's carbs. That's going to be your starchy carbs like rice, potatoes, whole grains, whole grain products, like that kind of stuff. Then we can go to fats, which can be just a little. Basically like a couple like thumb-sized portions, you know. Could be a bit of oil, nuts and seeds, avocado, olives, like those kind of things. And then the rest, so almost half of your plate could be fruits and or veggies. Cool, like I said. And with those, like you just pick whatever. Like you can't really go wrong. I really think that you can get really far by practicing those basics without tracking. Absolutely. Is it going to help you control your journey, like exactly through, right, going to into a calorie deficit controlled for a period of time where you are going to be more hungry, right? Or going into a calorie surplus where we're building muscle, we're doing that for a controlled period of time. I mean, again, it is possible. It comes with a lot of awareness. And I think in an ideal world, that would be doable. But then again, people have lives with stress and stuff. And that makes it more difficult. So I do like the tracking because it's instead of kind of guessing where we're at and maybe like, hey, I should kind of be here, but I don't really know because I don't have the numbers to look at. It's the difference between that and just knowing exactly, like, you know, how fast you're going, what's coming in, where you can make some changes. Because you know as well, like, hey, before you know it, like, you're months in and you're like, oh, shit, you know what? Like, the last couple of weeks, my fiber is kind of dropping or my steps are dropping, you know? Or my protein is not as high as it used to be. Okay, cool. Now we can dial that back in again. Mm-hmm. Make sense?
Yes, also to track, definitely take the question out of the equation. It makes it a lot easier to know what you're doing and how it affects your journey. And as well, also you learn so much from it. And my biggest problem with nutrition is how much people feel and think and how they base their the choices, but also their own emotions on what they feel about their lunch. And how they feel that the weekend impact the whole week and they punish themselves by eating a lot less than they need because they had one party at Saturday. Also, they overestimate how bad the one little party was. And by tracking and also, of course, working together with, for example, a coach, you learn so much more about how these decisions affect you negatively, but at the same time positively. And also that it doesn't have that much to say. Also, it doesn't matter one bad choice here and there. It's about the bigger picture. So I like tracking, but I also think we have to be very aware of that it's short term, and there should also always be a goal of like stepping out of it and not just track yeah. Unless you like it, of course.
Yeah. I think it's one of those where we just want to continuously, and this is the beauty of coaching, I think. It's like we're working together. There's like a weekly touch point where, hey, you get to reflect. And you can even do this by yourself, right? So this is not even like, hey, like by coaching. It's like, yes, I do truly believe in that, right? That's why I continue to invest in coaching. That's why our team does that. And, you know, my coach has a coach. And, you know, like I truly believe in that. But it's like, even if you do this by yourself, have moments in your week or even daily if you want to, but like, or monthly, like whatever you want to do reflect, because it's not just about doing a thing, right? Whether it's a workout program or a meal plan or whatever it is, you know, like with the weekends, for example, like that's okay. Even if we completely overeat or undereat, it's fine if that happens, but it's like, how do you respond? You know, like, what do you do with that information? And that's the whole point, I think. And that's why I like those weekly check-ins. That's why we do them. Because it's like, hey, you address your efforts first of all. It's like, hey, I have this goal. I know these things need to happen for me to get to that goal. I said I was going to do these kind of things. Did I do them, first of all? You know? Did I show up? What went well? Okay, what do we now need to do for this week, you know, upcoming week, to be a little bit better? Not perfect, just a little better, like 1%. And how will you do that? I mean, you know these questions because that's exactly what I ask you on a weekly basis, you know? And then it's like, how can I help you? It's like, that's the framework you want to follow just every single week. It's like, hey, reflect, just be brutally honest, see how it's going. If you need work with anything, okay, address that. And then you either figure out on your own what that's going to be, or you ask someone and you get educated, right? And then it doesn't matter how imperfect things are. You just continue to grow and you continue to figure it out. So even there, if you go with just a plate approach that we just addressed, do it and just see how it goes. If you're losing weight and that's your goal, great. You know, if you're not gaining and you're trying to gain, cool. Then at least keep weighing yourself. But like, then make sure that when you eat, you pay attention to your hunger cues and you eat a little bit more, right? When you're full, you purposely go a little bit over, you see? Again, it's with that awareness. Like, you can work with it. It's going to create even more awareness, I feel like, because you're really going to pay attention to it. But it will be a little bit more difficult, I feel like.
Yeah.
You see?
Definitely. And now I feel we learned a lot about how to build the perfect weight. Nothing's perfect, but obviously the way you do it is like a smart approach. Before we close things off, I want to ask you about one more thing, because your Monday dinner, I've seen this on Instagram and it looks really good. I mean, rice, naan, bread, Indian, you can't go wrong. But I think at the same time, a lot of people, when you like do the jar from the grocery stuff, a lot of people maybe here in Norway think like, oh, that's processed, ultra processed, shouldn't do that. What's your thought about about processed versus non-processed? And the health in those choices.
I don't think it's going to matter too much. If the jar of like Indian sauce is the problem, I think we're looking at the wrong thing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's just how with, you know, this whole sugar and fruit discussion. It's like, is it really going to be the fucking apple? You know what I mean? I don't think so. But anyway, to your question. Technically, would it be more, you know, whole food based, whatever, if I make the sauce myself? Yes, sure, absolutely. Is it quicker, more convenient, easier? 100%, you know? And that's also one thing, because I do think, hey, like, because my Mondays are kind of crazy, it's just something that works, you know what I mean? It's like, we really enjoy that meal. The sauce, I mean, it's fine. If you look at the ingredients, I guess it's fine, you know what I mean? But it's that convenience too that counts, you know what I mean? Could I spend more time in the kitchen? Yeah, sure. But that day in the week, I don't want to. Also knowing that most other meals, they're fully like whole food based, you know what I mean? Pretty much. Or at least minimally processed. And that's also kind of going back to that 80-20 principle, flexible dieting. It's like, it doesn't have to be perfect all the time. And I don't think the Indian sauce is going to be the thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't, something is not inherently bad because it's processed. And that's one thing people need to understand.
I think it's good to get your take on it, because I feel like a lot of people are really thinking about that now. And of course, that's great. But it also makes life a lot harder when you have a busy schedule, you have kids, all that stuff. And if you're to like rule out all that's processed, you're making your life really, really hard. And I don't think you have to make it that hard. It's not that bad for you, as long as you like have it in moderation, like you just described now.
Yeah. And hey, you know what? Even then, there's also room for more flexible foods that are more processed than the Indian sauce. You know what I mean? And that would also still be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but it's like, all joking aside, like that is true. You know what I mean? Like, that's also why I purposely brought up the Fruit Loops, like the cereal. Is it objectively like the most healthy food out there? Like, no, but it's also like a very small percentage of the all the food that I eat, which is like mainly whole foods, you know what I mean? So it's that, it's a context, and you don't eat one single food. Like, that is not your diet, you know? It's like, hey, what's the whole picture? Like, show me that. If it's mostly processed foods, absolutely, that's not a healthy diet. But if there's a little bit in there, which also allows you to be more flexible and just, in my opinion, like, it makes it more sustainable because you're not restricting yourself so much. You're actually allowing something that most people would be, you know, labeling bad foods. But we're here just being grown-ups and we just say, hey, you know what? I'm not going to have too much of it and it's fine, you know? Like, if we have that mindset, I think that's still going to be healthier. Then everything needs to be clean, organic all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. And of course, both you and I work with highly active people. And I feel that a lot of my clients could do with some more calories. As you learned, I learned that from you. You reminded me that your diet could easily fit in some processed food, maybe also because you need it. It's like limits to how much chicken and avocado and rice you can eat. A lot of people maybe need that extra fuel because we're training a lot and, you know, the body is building, so we need it.
Yeah. Let me make one more side note here, because I do want to point out that I always recommend focusing on whole foods, right?
Yeah.
Always. I always recommend, like, that's your priority. I'm not here to say, like, hey, that, you know, squeezing into Fruit Loops, whatever it is, like, that's your priority. Like, no. Okay, if you want to have some of that, that's cool. But, like, focus on those whole foods. Like, that's what we're adding, you know, the minimally processed foods. And you know what? Like, that whole processed versus, minimally processed or whole foods thing, like, whole grain tortillas, right, is a little bit more processed. It's still fine, you know what I mean? It's just maybe less filling than boiled potatoes. Okay, now we have two different tools that we can use, you see? So I think the processed food debate is like, it's definitely taking a little too far, I feel like. There's a lot of fear-mongering. But I will say this as well, obviously, because I want this to be very clear. Like, you should be focusing on minimally processed foods.
Yeah.
And whole foods. And I think if you have mostly those foods that are very few ingredients or maybe even single ingredient foods, like, it's very difficult to not create good results in the gym.
Agreed.
Alrighty. Let's wrap it up. Thanks for joining again.
Yeah, good talk. Sorry for me asking all the questions, but you know that's
natural. No, it's nice.
I'm here to learn about nutrition, and you're the king of nutrition, so that's that's why we do it that way. But thank you so much. I hope really that's the people listening. Of course, your listeners, but also some of my clients, that they're learning and getting inspired to take control over their nutrition for the last time, not following any sort of diet or thing for like 4 weeks, but really thinking about this stuff long term so that they can build the health and the habits and also the body that they want to and have for the rest of their lives, not just until summer.
Absolutely. So that being said, like, remember that reflection stuff and just continue to work on it and you will get there. So Pia, for the new listeners, where can people find you?
They can find me on Instagram is probably the simplest, easiest place, Pia Seberg, or they can check out my website, piaseberg.no. Just send me a DM if you have questions.
Awesome. I'll link that in the show notes. To our listener, thanks again. Feel free to drop us a quick 5-star rating on Spotify or Apple, or both. Do whatever you want to do, and then we'll talk to you very soon. Alrighty. Alright, that's it for today. As a thank you for sticking around, I'd like to send you a free copy of my ebook, The Definitive Fat Loss Nutrition Guide. Honestly, if you like the podcast, I'm sure you'll love the ebook. So if you want it, all you need to do is either click the link in the show notes or DM me on Instagram at johanvesters_OCS, and I'll personally send it to you. Thanks again for listening to today's episode. I'll talk to you soon.